To the sixth case, the United States versus Broadwater. Tabatas?
May it please the court, okay. Your Honor, it's actually Adam Tavitas on behalf.
Yes,
right. Tavitas, on behalf of the appellant. Your Honor, a brief history. Mr. Broadwater was charged by grand jury indictment of dealing in crack cocaine. He went to trial. At the trial, the government presented direct evidence from an undercover DEA agent. The DEA agent had a confidential informant and set up eyes with the defendant. The defendant, Your Honors, also testified on his own behalf. He did not dispute that any of the drug transaction actually took place, but he basically stated that he sold the drugs to assist a friend who was in financial need, as well as the promise of sexual favors. On cross-examination, the U.S. attorney asked about the defendant's two prior convictions for unlawful use of a firearm. These firearm convictions were approximately, I believe, 5 and 7 years prior to Mr. Broadwater being charged in this particular case. The counsel for Mr. Broadwater did not object to any of this line of questioning. He didn't file any motions in order to keep this evidence out. On rebuttal, the state had another individual who testified that there was a Rule 404B uncharged prior drug transaction between Mr. Broadwater and this individual. Once again, counsel for the defendant did not object at all. Your Honor, the issues here is whether or not that the Mr. Broadwater's counsel fell below an objective standard, and also if he did fall below that objective standard, whether it deprived Mr. Broadwater of a fair trial. And I believe on behalf of Mr. Broadwater it did. There is no reason, once again, to have the convictions with regarding the two prior unlawful use of weapons. Not only time, but this case, Your Honor, had absolutely nothing to do with guns. It had absolutely everything to do with whether or not Mr. Broadwater was entrapped. The government actually, when they brought up in closing arguments, they decided the government argued that because the fact that Mr. Broadwater had prior convictions is for the jury to decide whether his testimony can be taken as truthful in whole or partially. Your Honor, I believe this particular instruction basically allows the jury to find out, hey, if this person has a particular prior conviction, you can disregard his entire testimony as untruthful. And once again, this particular case did not deal with whether or not there was an intent issue. This is not a case in which the defendant claimed that perhaps the suitcase that he was bringing to someone else did or did not contain in any type of drugs. There's one case cited in my brief, Your Honor. Although it's the Fifth Circuit, it's U.S. versus Daniels. I believe it's pretty much close to being on point. That case was a dealing in heroin case in which the defendant, the government brought after the fact that the defendant had been charged in this particular case that he possessed a sawed-off shotgun. The court reversed the conviction in that particular case because there's no probative value of selling narcotics and that the defendant's right was substantially prejudiced. That's what we believe happened in this particular case. With regards to the 404B uncharged conduct, once again, the testimony that was brought out by the government on rebuttal talked about the intent of the defendant to be in this type of transaction. And once again, Your Honor, this case has nothing to do with intent. It has everything to do with whether or not the defendant was in fact entrapped. Because counsel did not object to this testimony, it's unfair. The defendant did not get a fair trial, and the jury was able to hear not only his prior convictions, but because of the fact of this uncharged prior conduct, I believe that the counsel's performance fell below the standard, and in falling below the standard, that his right to a fair trial He did not have actually a fair trial in this particular case. And I am addressing this, Your Honor, and I was not the counsel of record, as I stated in the brief, for Mr. Broadwater. He had another counsel, and the reason why this is being brought up is because of the fact that I am able to point to specific acts, specific instances in the case where I believe, on behalf of Mr. Broadwater, that the counsel was not sufficient. And because of that, that is why this issue was brought up on this particular appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you.
Baker?
May it please the Court, I'm Andrew Baker on behalf of the United States. I believe the record in this case shows a more than adequate defense by Mr. Jay Stevens, the community defender in our district. He forcefully advocated the defendant's position that he was entrapped, having the defendant not only testify but bringing in a witness on his behalf, and the record simply doesn't support a claim of ineffective assistance of counsel with respect to either the impeachment evidence nor the 404B evidence. The Daniels case in the Fifth Circuit cannot be any precedent or any weight connected with the impeachment. In Daniels, the offense was not admitted as the firearms offense was not a conviction. The defendant was in a car with a sawed-off shotgun and admitted to the officer handling it. He wasn't convicted of it. It wasn't admitted for impeachment. That's why the firearms offenses were admitted in this case for impeachment under Rule 609 and submit, as we explained in our brief, that those two offenses met the requirements under this court's test for admission. In Daniels, it was not a conviction. It was evidence admitted to show predisposition because they had a statement that they were going to get dope off some guy, and presumably that's why the prosecutor tried to admit it under 404B evidence rather than 609 impeachment evidence. So the Daniels case is no authority for reversal of the district court's decision or on admitting the evidence or finding of ineffective assistance of counsel with respect to impeachment evidence. In addition, the other case on which the defendant relies, Daniel's case is authority for the admission of the informant's testimony that he dealt with dope, because one of the other issues in the Daniel's case is the informant's testimony in that case that he had prior drug dealings with the defendant, and the court held that they were sufficiently proven by the informant's testimony. Likewise, the other case relied on by the defendant, Bastaniapour, by this court at 41 Fed 3rd, 1178, the defendant's conviction for a prior conviction for dealing drugs was admitted under both 404B to prove intent because of entrapment and under 609 for impeachment, where the defendant claimed entrapment in connection with the distribution of drugs. This court indicated that the prior offense might not be admissible or was not admissible under 404B to prove intent because the defendant admitted he had the requisite intent at the time of the offense, but it was properly admitted to rebut the claim of entrapment to show predisposition, precisely why the informant's the cooperating defendant's testimony was admitted here to show prior drug dealings within 6 months of the time of the offense. The court in Bastaniapour also said it was not necessary to reach the issue of the admissibility of that conviction under Rule 609. For the reasons explained in a brief, we'd ask this court to affirm the conviction and deny the claim of ineffective assistance of counsel. If the court has any questions, include my argument.
Mr. Your Honor, just briefly, what we're asking for is that Mr. Broadwater get a fair trial on the charges that he was entrapped. The government in this particular case, as stated before, brought up these convictions of the prior felony convictions as well as the uncharged conduct. I believe it should be fair on Mr. Broadwater's behalf to the jury hear the evidence in the case and whether or not he was entrapped. And for those reasons, Your Honor, we believe that counsel was deficient in objecting to that testimony and ask that Mr. Broadwater be given a new trial.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks to both counsel. Special thanks to you, Mr. Tavitis, for taking this case in, on appeal. The court will stand in recess.